Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to American Desis. I'm Akash.
I'm Arjun.
And this is the discussion episode for Neil Nanda, part one. First of all, real quick, apology to everybody for how we ended that first week episode. As I was editing,
why are you apologizing?
Just explanation. Okay. And you said it too, and like we didn't really know how to end it. It felt kind of exploitative a little bit to like have that question and then stop. We didn't want it to come across like that. There was just no other way to transition.
This isn't like a season finale of Scandal. And then next week's episode is something that what it was that what we found out when we asked that question, normally when we do two-part episodes, we know that we're going to split it. But with this one, we didn't know it was going to turn into one. And we know that like hour and 15-minute episodes are hard for everyone to really get through. And because of what was coming up is so important, we were like, we need to make sure that this is a separate thing that people can come to and really pay attention to for the full, like give their full attention to.
Yeah.
And so that's why we made what sounded like a little bit of an unnatural edit.
Like a two-week continued.
Right.
Which we probably should do, because ain't not enough of y'all listening, so we might need to do that. Just stop in the middle of every week, like a really interesting question, and then come back and finish it. But that's not what we intended to do.
And with that being said, you know, there's I guess we're going to tease again, but a lot of what's to be discussed, I think there's a lot of context, there's a lot of things that are said in part one that once we listen to part two really shift our understanding and give a lot of context for. So I think that for me, and Akash, if you agree with this, aside from the tweets that came at us, I think that Akash and I want to hold off our discussion until next week. Until after part two, so that we can involve everything. I said your name, but I also want your...
Yeah, we're going to talk about the episode next week.
But we did have a lot of stuff in the community, and there was actually something that I've been thinking about that I wanted to talk with you, Akash. You've talked about, I mean, in your first blog post, there is a black identity, there's a white identity. And it seems like because those in the States, and because those identities are so strong, right, we get defined through those identities. I think that you and I have both said that we personally identify more with black culture than with white culture.
I don't know that we get defined. I think we tend to choose to define ourselves as one of the two.
No, but I think that we do. Well, I know that I've been, because I've had this said to me a lot, which is, you sound like a black man, which is a strange, it's just always a strange thing. And I had this when I was working on a movie, and maybe I've told the story, so forgive me if I'm repeating, but I was working on a movie and I had a phone call with the costume designer, which was she was a Guyanese woman. We were talking for a while, and at the end of the phone call, she said, "Oh, judging from your picture, I wouldn't have expected your voice to be like this." And I was like, "What does that mean?" You know what I mean? And then any time that I was with these people, right? It was a movie, the Azalea Banks movie that I've talked about. It was directed by RZA. Like, it was a movie that was mainly, I was surrounded by black folk the 3 days that I was working. And they would kind of, I couldn't just be an Indian guy who grew up here, who understood the language and had an urban vernacular, because for whatever reason, right? I was like, they would be like, "Man, you seem really black, or you this, or it's that." And it was like almost like I couldn't hold Indian or brown. They had to like almost take that away and like make it black or white. And I've like had Indian friends that have experienced that with whiteness too. What do you, have you experienced that? What does that trigger for you?
I think you people just think you sound black because your voice is super deep. And
but why does that? But that's what I'm saying is like.
Hold on. Here's a little quick anecdote.
Okay,
I was
sure.
After the Wild and Out callback, it was me and a couple other people went to eat. Shouts to Hitman Holler. He was there, the battle rapper. Another girl was there named Blair Christensen. Blair Christensen. I always forget how you say the last name. Anyway, she was hood chick, funny, hilarious. We got along really well. She was like, why does every Indian sound the same? I was like, well, what do you mean? She was like,
whoa.
Y'all all got the same. She's like, y'all all got the same, like, semi-high-pitched, semi-nasal kind of voice. And I was like, nah, that's not true. I know. and you were the only example I thought of later. Because I was just like, well, we kind of do all have that middle pitch. Not all, but like, you could generalize us with a certain pitch. And you could generalize black people's having a deeper voice. You just fall into that. So I don't, like, I don't think it's, I don't think they mean
but
it like you use
that.
Slang. Because you don't even really use slang. Like, just now, the way you were talking was like, you know, like, well articulated.
Yeah, I mean, okay, but I think that, I'm not sure that it was a slang that you're thinking it's just a voice thing. I don't know.
No, that's the first, but also the, like when you hang out with a minority, they try to make you one of them. I think everybody does that. Like if there's one token, whatever, in an Indian group, they just try to make him Indian, whether he's a white dude, whether he's a black dude, whether he's a Korean dude. Oh, he's basically Indian. He hangs out with so many of us. It's a weird thing that we all do. I don't know what the psychology is of it, but like when I'm hanging out with all my black friends, they're like, are you basically a brother? White people will try to do it too, and for some reason that's the one I'm like, no, don't ever call me white in your life.
Because that means something entirely different from like a power structure thing.
I still will correct everybody else, but for some reason I'm like, don't call me like white. Like really bothers me. It's like a, hey man, relax.
You've gotten that? I've never gotten that. Which
well,
is
white
funny.
People actually, maybe I've seen them do it to other people, and they probably did it to me when I was younger.
I have a hard time believing that they would ever do that to you.
Yeah, I mean, younger me probably. But yeah, but this guy, I saw him do it to another Indian. This girl is basically white, you know what I mean? She's not really Indian. And then my roommates actually, who were black dudes, this is like a big moment for me. They jumped on her. This was in college. They were like, don't ever let anybody talk to you like that. Like, you are this. Be proud of that. And I was like, oh yeah, that's a good point. And that was like a big moment. I remember that.
Yeah, I'm always big on that. And you is that we should stand up tall for, I remember, this is maybe a complete tangent, but my boy is 6'3", and he's one of he's a little younger, but he like kind of slouches down a little bit sometimes, and he won't always say that he's 6'3", you know, because like when he was young and tall, like it made him different, and there's that whole psychology of like trying to like shrink to be fit in. And I like once we were out somewhere and I was like, man, you're 6'3". You hold yourself like you're 6'3". That's what you are, you know? But with this identity thing, it's confusing to me. It's like, how do we build that space? It seems like to be cool, there's an element of being cool is to be black, right? If you're cool, if you can hang, you're more like you're black.
Yeah, black people define cool right now.
Right. So is it that we need to, because here's what really triggered it for me, right? Because I'm in Canada. I don't know why I just said that like that. I'm in Canada and I went to go see a movie, and there was a preview for this movie called Biba Boys, right? And it's all about Punjabi gangsters. It's like a Punjabi, it's like a bad version of Casino for brown folk. Where, like, you see this, like, South Asian dude coming up. And we've seen a lot of those in India, right? In Bollywood, those aren't new. But I'd not seen, a Western film of this. Now, I don't think this is releasing in the States at all. I'd never seen it because it's releasing in October. But I was like, oh, are we trying to now take that on? Was, like, filmmaker part of that, like, trying to take that on to make us cool? Like, it's a lot of it is...
No, it's a different culture in Canada. You said in Vancouver, they like run the crime scene. So
they
it makes
run
sense.
The crime scene.
Whatever. There's organized brown gangs in Canada that people know about. In Surrey or wherever. Here, the people will be like, get out of my face. I've never seen a brown gang and felt threatened. I don't want to see this idiotic movie. There, it's a reality. So you can make a movie about that. Here, you're not going to make... You know what I mean?
It's a way of trying to glamorize it, right? Or not glamorize it, but like there's a coolness that comes around with being bad, right? That's just psychology.
Yeah.
Something cool and dangerous about. Now, do we need to do that to be cool? Like, how are we going to become cool without being, like, what I'm saying is that when people think that you and I are cool, or people that I know, they're usually, or like Utkarsh, when people think Utkarsh is really cool, they're talking about the things about him that usually are identified as black.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering, is that hindering us from creating our own identity? Or maybe not hindering is not, maybe not the right word, but it does. It's an interesting question, is like, how are we supposed to go about forming that? You know, I don't know. I'm just throwing this out. This is just something that came at me today, this past week. And I really have been kind of thinking about it. I was curious. Yeah. Your thought.
No, I don't know, man. I don't really have an answer for that. I don't, that's a weird thing for me to try to figure out right now. You threw me a Rubik's Cube, and I'm just trying to figure out what we're even talking about to a certain degree.
Fair. Let me try to clarify. Maybe I'm not being very clear.
No, I get it. It's just, I don't know.
It's hard. It's hard, right? I mean,
it's
hard.
But to me, it's like, black people define cool right now. It's, even if you're white, they're going to say, like, yo, this dude's got swag.
Totally.
Just because I'm that's not... just, and this is what I was saying to you earlier, is like, the terms we use for cool are black terms right now, because you can't say you're cool using old white people terms from like the 50s. Sure. You can't be like, hey, you're the bee's knees. Yeah.
That's so nifty.
Yeah, this guy's a sizzle, a real spiffy guy. That was cool 70 years ago, but it ain't cutting edge. It ain't whatever. It's the new, and black people are the ones making up the slang. It's all coming from hip hop culture. So, right. You know,
I guess I'm just wondering, thing. I guess, it just makes me think about like that whole thing is like, what is our Indian identity, right? Because it seems like when people identify me outside, not how I hold my Indian identity is different, but I am also looking at like, because identity is a twofold process. It's how you perceive yourself, and also how you're perceived by those around you, right? So the latter portion of it, I feel like when people identify me as Indian, it's only when I'm talking about things that are specific to the, like, the motherland, not specific to like an Indian American experience. And maybe that's just because we're so new, but it's just an interesting thing. Is like, what is that? What is that brown identity? And I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I don't either.
I mean, if you guys have thoughts on that, you know, please definitely reach out about it. It did reach out. I was listed on Twitter, or brought in on Twitter. I really don't know how to use Twitter or talk about it. But with BuzzFeed, this guy Amir Talai, he wrote an article for BuzzFeed, or like an opinion piece. When a brown actor plays a white character, who really wins? And the sub headline is, I should be thrilled that the star of Mr. Robot is Egyptian American. Instead, I'm disappointed. And one of his big theses is that USA's network, Mr. Robot, have you seen it all?
Nah, it's a lot of hype, though. I know they got picked up for a second season before the season premiere, which is even the series premiere, which is crazy.
Hello?
Yeah, hello? Can you hear me?
I got you now, yeah.
Yeah, I said it's a lot of hype. I know they got picked up for season two before they even aired an episode, which is nuts.
Right. I also have not seen it, but everyone that I've talked to really is enjoying it and thinks it's a great show. And one of the things they talk about is that one of the things that Amir is talking about is that it's really wonderful in the way it realistically portrays a multi-ethnic, multilingual, and multinational cast. That it has like people from all over the world, and he's also said it's a very exciting show. Now, the lead character is played by Rami Malek. I may be mispronouncing that name. I apologize. He's Egyptian American. Plays a character with an unmistakably white name, Elliot Alderson. And he says, while it might seem like a victory for a brown actor to play a character with a stereotypical white name, it actually reinforces the idea that complex, multi-dimensional characters have to read as white, while characters with brown names are relegated to roles where we play terrorists named Muhammad or cabbies named Apu. How do you feel about this?
I mean, I was with him until that last sentence. For some reason, that last sentence really annoyed me. It's a whole, like... the idea that he's such a victim, that always just butt shut up. I agree with his first part, though. Like, I don't, and like you said, I want to take a role from a white person because I'm better than him, but I also don't want to have the white name. Give me an Indian name. Make me Indian. Represent me as me. And that would annoy me. If I saw an Egyptian dude being played by a white dude, I'd be like, well, why don't you just give him the Egyptian name? They normally don't do that, though, from what I've seen. Like, in How to Get Away with Murder, they kind of gave you...
They changed the name.
Yeah, it wasn't
they changed the name.
Particularly South Asian, but it was, you know, it was an effort.
It was an effort, yo. I've actually, and I've been really insistent. I remember, I'm always an insistent. And actually, Amir goes on to talk about how he had an experience where he was once thrilled to be cast. I'm quoting. I was once thrilled to be cast in a role of Leeds' best friend. My character's name was Stanley, and I asked if we could change my character name to something matching my Persian heritage. I was told the director, quote unquote, didn't want to tell that story. And that's just fucked up. It's like, what story that, like, we don't have Persian American best friends? Like, that's the story?
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? That would upset me, but he ain't quit. You know what I mean? Like, you still took that check.
Right. Well, are you saying that people shouldn't? Because that's a different conversation than what we're having.
I think, you know, if you're going to take it to a newspaper, or at least call yourself out and be like, I mean, listen, I still took the check, so who am I really? I just have that level of honesty.
But if you take the personal out of that, right? And take the concept. Look at the concept rather than this person's, the way he handled it. But, like, how you feel about the concept?
I would be infuriated. I would like to think I would really cause a scene. Maybe I wouldn't. I guess at first we are just all happy to be there. God knows I've done some things that are terrible. But, that's annoying. Just give me my name.
I do think it is a strange... And actually, I was really upset when I read this. Bollywood icon Priyanka Chopra, star of ABC's upcoming Quantico, told ABC she wanted her character to be ethnically ambiguous to help Indian actors be taken more seriously, implying that the less you read as Indian, the more seriously you will be taken. That fucking... I was like, Priyanka, I don't know you, but someone needs to have a chat with you because that's crazy. Why are you implying that Indian actors?
She don't know. She's just moving here, and this is all really messy. I'm sure in her mind, that's probably how they think Americans think of identity. And if you asked me 10 years ago, 5 years ago, that was what I said. 5 years ago, I said that's what ethnic actors want.
No, that's fair. That's a good empathy to bring, an understanding to bring to her where she's coming from, and I appreciate that. No, that's true. But still, that's wrong. I think that's fucked up. Or messed up, sorry. I'm trying to curse less also.
Doing a terrible job right now. First of all, I didn't do it because of empathy. I just did it because I want to disagree with everything any person says to me. So don't ever get that twisted. Let's never get that twisted on this podcast. I agree to disagree. I'm going to have another podcast called Agree to Disagree, and I'm going to disagree with everything anybody ever says. That's all I'm going to do. It's the best. Now
I'm ugly. Disagree with that. Disagree with it.
Hey, man, I don't know why your self-esteem is so low, man. You should, listen, you might be right, but you should think you're beautiful. You know what I mean? Like, what's wrong with you? Have some self-esteem. The real problem is your self-esteem.
Go back to what you're thinking about this, though.
I forgot.
She said that she wanted her character to be ethnically ambiguous to help Indian actors be taken more seriously. Now, again, you're right. Maybe coming from India, it's a whole other thing. But I do think that here we should not be doing that. You know, I don't think we should be doing that. I mean, I think that's I do agree. I do agree that it's a problem when they think neutral character is white, and then anything that's like so specific and specialized becomes the other. Because the reason that I say that's problematic is because the way that people tell stories is those specific, you know, specialized characters are usually written very one-dimensionally, and that you never get to spend enough time with them to understand them as three-dimensional people. That's just storytelling. That's just novels, right? The lead that you spend 200 pages with or a season with or whatever, you're going to get to know as a full-fledged human. Which has always been my issue with the way that we're portrayed. It's not that because I don't have a big problem with stereotypes. I never have. I think that stereotypes come from a kernel of truth. I think the issue becomes when we think that stereotypes are the only thing about a community. And so, Yeah, I think that, you know, are you there?
Yeah, man, you just keep just talking. Listening. I'm here. I'm just, you know, just looking at this clock. It's been 20 minutes, and I'm like, wow, this guy really just, he said we didn't have anything when we started, and look at him go. All right, go ahead, buddy. I'm here. Oh, my God.
I just think that stereotypes, it's like all about fragmenting those stereotypes, right? I fucked up the point because I thought you weren't there, and I honestly thought we dropped you. Let's move to Community. I don't want to start it again. I don't want to start that whole point. Do you want me to start that whole
no,
point?
No, please, 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 please don't. Oh, man.
But guys, seriously, Community, I really want to hear more. Like that initial thing that we talked about a Brian identity. Like I would really love to hear people's thoughts on that. Because I know y'all have some. Because
listen, these something episodes we all cannot do. Be Arjun talking for 40 minutes.
And then get involved, bitch.
I'm talking about the Community.
Oh, gotcha. Never mind.
What happened to you not cussing, man? You're doing terribly at this.
I know.
It's crazy how much more I cuss than you and how much more I can control it.
I mean, I think you choose to control it because you care more about it. Okay, so we have a lot of tweets.
Yeah.
We'll roll through them.
I got one from Real Ubs. He tweeted, this was like 4 or 5 days ago he tweeted this. Have you seen the movie Two States? He asked me, have you seen the movie Two States? It might be a good topic for American Desis. I said, yes. What do you think? Why would it be a good topic? He said, the concept of a South Indian, North Indian marriage. Is it a big deal? Is it a big deal in the U.S., like you may have said previously? Or are there too few of us to subdivide?
No, what he said is it a big deal in the USA or, like you may have said...
Oh, yeah, I got you. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Are there few tools
to subdivide? I'm doing terribly on Twitter. In my opinion, aside from marriage being about love, a marriage between these two parts of India seems like it brings us closer together as an Indian community, sharing one culture instead of two cultures, one South, one North. I think that's really interesting.
Never thought about it that way.
Yeah, I didn't... go ahead.
That's the most logical and, like... mathematical way of looking at a marriage. I love it. That's very South Asian to this, but he's like, oh yeah, let's put this person and this person because it'd be better for the community. It's very logical. It's very South Asian.
Yeah. I always thought it was like there's, like you said, there's too few of us to subdivide, but yeah, I never thought of it actually being better potentially. That's dope. I think he's right. Great point. Yeah. Buddy. Keep talking to us.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta be honest, I never think about that. You know, if I was looking for an Indian lady or South Asian lady, I'm not like, oh, well, she's South Indian, I gotta like leave her alone. I mean, I know you've never cared about that.
No.
Cool.
Swizzle. As long as she light skin.
Oh God. There was a lot about the ending. So I'll skip a few of those. Actually, Neil Nanda tweeted that the second part is much better. I don't love the first half, and I asked why. I sound like such an ass clown, but I explain why in the second part. Do you think he sounded like an ass clown? I really don't.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
No, he was just talking. I think he was qualifying it a lot. I think he was nervous to say all that stuff in this forum. Because when I talked to him off the air before this, now granted he had a few drinks in him, but he wasn't really buffering his statements the way he was on the air. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be like we caught him in a moment of transition.
That's also true. And the talk I had with him was months before. It was after a show that I did his show, Unnecessary Evil. And then we went out afterward. And this is like right as we were finishing our first round of interviews. I was like, next time we come back, we got to get this guy.
Right.
And then it was months later and he had really kind of, he was in that transition period, like you said. So maybe that's also why he was buffering.
Well, I think he's genuinely in conflict with it. I mean, he is, I mean, I think it was, you know, one thing I will say that we could talk about a lot because we don't need context for it, is how the way that the Indian audience and the South Asian audience has changed his perception of the South Asian like culture and his own feeling with that. He's been really embraced by that, you know, and he was talking about how supportive that has been and how much they have like really, yeah, just supported him has really meant something to him.
Yeah.
And so I think that might also be shifting some of the things that he's thinking about. And listen, he had a relatively strong, at least from, I mean, I only spent an hour with him, right? That was the only hour I've ever spent with that kid. He had a self-awareness. Like I think I even commented during the interview, like, I'm just sitting here doing my job for me.
Right.
And actually, Biryani Over Bay, which is a hilarious Twitter handle. I thought it was very interesting, actually. Couldn't really get mad at what you were saying. She's referring to Neil. What you were saying, because you were checking yourself, which is true. Boom, boom, boom. Priyanka Walimbe sent us something on YouTube that I did not watch. So we'll get that next week, Priyanka. Did Neil Nanda just say, this is Miss Shanaz coming back. Welcome back, Miss Shanaz. Did Neil Nanda just say stick dance? Yup. Neil Nanda has his opinion on Indian girls and I'm listening. Ooh, this is interesting. Aditi Bhargava said, at American Daisies, regarding compassion as a weapon, which was last week's episode, what do you guys think about trigger warnings? I didn't know what that was, so I said, what are trigger warnings? And she said, they are used to warn audiences of content that could cause severe negative emotional responses.
I mean, get out of my face.
I think that, and right before the show, I don't agree with this. I don't agree that that's something that should be there. I think that for children, if you're bringing children into a show, that we need to be cautious about what they're seeing, right? I think that we need to let, and that's where ratings come in and like mature audiences or whatever that is. And then parents can make the decision based on that, right? But I think that you need to be careful about that. But I actually think that audiences and art, part of art's role is to challenge audiences, challenge the way they're thinking, challenging the way they are, shake people up. So I don't actually ever agree with trigger warnings. If it triggers some shit for you, good.
Yeah, what's going to kill a great moment in a movie more than 30 seconds beforehand being like, hey, something serious is coming. Whatever, he's really killing all the, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't think it would happen like you're midway through the movie and then like there's a little flashing screen that says trigger warning and then like moves on from the movie. I think it would be like this movie has, you know, or she might be saying for like comedy shows or for live performances. I think that we are at a point especially in art and entertainment where we are treating audiences so much like they're idiots. And I don't want to go for, I think we need to start like challenging audiences more. I think that we really need to be better about that. I mean, that's something I think about with the theater company. So I don't consider it at all. I actually followed up with the DT and asked like, did you mean for like live performances or do you mean for like us in front of our show, our own podcast? She was like, possibly just wanted to hear you guys explore TW further. A lot of people think it's a response to people being overly sensitive. Some people consider it patronizing. Would you guys consider trigger warnings as a step closer to being more compassionate?
No!
Right.
No, actually, you know what? I wouldn't necessarily mind it at a comedy show just so you... I take away your right to get offended during the show. Because now you can't stand up during the show and be like, how dare you? I can be like, listen, we warned you, you stupid idiot. This is your fault. It's not ideal. It's the ideal is we all just come and we accept these as jokes and we're willing to take these risks, whatever. But it might be better because one person saying I'm offended ruins an entire comedy show, especially if it's a woman. Because if it's a dude, you can actually kind of be verbally abusive back and be like, well, you're a stupid idiot, cuss him out. And then everyone kind of accepts it. If it's a girl, you can't do that. So I just kind of be like, well, yeah, hey, I'm sorry you feel that way. And then where do I go? Then how am I funny?
Yeah, then how do you go back to, yeah. That's interesting, because I would still say, I actually don't think it's a way of being more compassionate. I don't think compassion always means that you're nice. I think that maybe we have to, you can be tough with someone and still be incredibly compassionate. You know, there's a coworker I've worked with in the past who had this type of behavior where she basically relied on people being nice to her because she invalidated something that this person couldn't get from themselves. And you could make the argument that the compassionate way would have been to be like, hey, not be an asshole about it, but like, hey, person, I'm not going to enable this kind of behavior by giving you what you need, because I think that you need to find that for yourself. I would argue that that's actually a more compassionate response than just giving in to what this person said and said, oh yeah, you are. That was such a great thing. You're amazing. All of this. I don't know that compassion always means nice.
Yeah, but no, also we should put a trigger warning at the beginning of this podcast. Hey, if you're a stupid idiot and you're going to get offended by anything I say, turn it off right now and go straight to hell.
Do you believe in hell? Or do you just use that as like a lingo thing?
I don't think I do. Like no, I don't think so. No, I don't. I know there's like a Nuttigan, Swatigan Hinduism, but I just... Reincarnation is what I'm thinking.
Reincarnation is your thing? That's your jam?
That's what I'm thinking.
The last one was another Mishanaz. Is Atnil Nanda wearing an Om bracelet to get more in touch with his Indianness, or is it more a fashion item?
The way can I really quickly comment on how, how nice these girls were about Neil not liking Indian women. This is the nicest I've ever seen Indian women be in my life. They're just like, oh no, that was interesting. You have a point of view. It's really like, they were super just understanding about the whole thing. Let me tell you something.
I'm more interested in this. What has your experience been in the past that you're saying makes it different?
Oh, dating Indian women I don't want to use the term nightmare, but it's stressful, man. It's really a lot of yelling. And they're like, I have a lot of experiences where I'm supposed to figure out what I did wrong on my own. And I'm like, well, I don't want to think and get yelled at. That's like double exhausting. Can you just yell at me, please, and get it over with? Christ almighty, what are we doing?
That's hilarious. Actually, I have a friend who dated a few Indian women, and he's had several relationships. Most of the relationships with the Indian women ended, like, there were elements of them throwing shit at him.
Oh, dog. Listen, somehow, for whatever reason, all my friends who aren't Indian, after being friends with me, end up dating an Indian. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And every time I'm like, listen, man, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. And they're just like, shut up, you're stupid. You just don't want me to date this girl. And then like 8 months later, they're like, dog, I don't even know what just happened.
And you still want to be with an Indian woman?
Yeah, because they can't all be like that. You know what I mean? Let's not judge.
That's amazing. You're just trying to find not that person. Watch, I can't wait for like you to just get ripped apart this week. And Neil Nanda, who said, I'm not attracted to
physically
women.
Physically find them unattractive. Yeah, watch me get yelled at. How dare you think I'm blah, blah, blah.
Oh, this is going to be a fun week
for
me.
Here's the thing. I'm way more used to it than Neil. So, right. I'll be fine. This ain't nothing new to me.
No, I mean, I think part of it is that, you know, he qualified a lot. It was hard to yell at somebody when he's like, yeah, I mean, I'm being an asshole right now. It's hard to be like, I don't want to say you're an asshole again. You just said it. You took my power away from me in that moment. It's actually quite brilliant. It's quite brilliant of him.
Maybe.
That's all I found on Twitter.
Yeah, no, I think we're good. We didn't get any emails because listeners are idiots and they don't want to do anything with their lives. They just want us to do everything for them. And that's it. You know what I mean? No one's rating the podcast. You're all stupid.
You know, did we slip back into like good cop bad cop? I just forgot about it, and I'm supposed to.
I told this. I told everybody that's what I was gonna do. I tried to give them like the benefit of the doubt and be like, no, they're gonna do this. They're gonna rate the podcast.
You guys are doing great. You're listening. People are engaged. We got tweets.
You guys are goddamn idiots. We haven't had a review since May 24th, 2015. You bums. It is
well, you know,
3 months.
We aren't on iTunes as much. Now that we're on Audio Boom, I actually don't know.
People listen to us on iTunes.
Yeah, that's fair. I try to give benefit of the doubt. But you know what? Screw that, man. Rate our shit, please.
Way to do it there, man. You really look like a man in that sense. All right.
Okay. All right, guys. I want to end it with this, though. Seriously, I don't think Akash and I could be more like could underline this more, but next week's episode is probably one of the more important episodes that we've dropped, that we will have dropped in our time with this podcast. I ahead of time want to thank Neil for just being incredibly generous with what he wants to share. It's intense. It's intense, but it's incredibly real, and it's so necessary. And it's such a necessary conversation for us to have as a community and as people. And so, you know, please, if you haven't, and if you like the podcast and haven't really told people about it, please make sure that next week is the episode that you really make sure people listen to. I think that it's really well deserved of that push. And so if you could do that for us, all jokes aside, we would really appreciate it, because, you know, we've said this a lot. This podcast is bigger than Akash and I. And when we say that we want to push this out, it's not to help Akash and I. It really isn't. It's because we really believe that this is something big for the community. And this is one of those times where we need your help. And so if you could help us out with that way, that would be really dope. Truly.
Listen to it.
Cool. Well, we're dropping that, like we just spent the last couple minutes telling you, on Monday. And we'll catch you then. I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash. God bless.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.